Hey, this is Mike from Bootstrap MD. I know we've been inconsistent with the episodes of late. Things have been just kind of crazy nuts. Things have been going on in my practice and the way that I practice medicine. Be happy to share that information about what's going on. But I really think you're going to want to stick around on this very important episode. We're going to be talking about telemedicine. And if you're saying, oh, I know about telemedicine since COVID, maybe you've explored some telemedicine jobs, maybe you've incorporated it into your practice, and maybe you've been unhappy with some of the pay for telemedicine. If you are, I highly encourage you to watch this interview by a group of telemedicine physicians who are making a lot more money than the typical telemedicine physician, through something that they have been secretly incorporating and slowly telling more physicians on how to do it. It's called virtual medicine, and it really teaches you about entrepreneurship, becoming your own boss, and improving your life in terms of the financial and career freedom that it brings. And I got a chance to mentor these guys last year, encourage them to start up this program and let other physicians know what they're doing. Because guys, they're doing tremendously well. And if you're someone who wants to incorporate telemedicine, have not been happy with the pay, you're going to want to listen to this. My interview with Sunir Chander and Takashi Nakamura of Air All In Remote Academy on this episode of Bootstrap MD.
Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
Hey, happy to announce something really cool that you won't want to miss. We just launched The Lounge. This is a free weekly newsletter tailored just for you, the physician entrepreneur and investor. You're going to stay ahead with the latest news in tech trends, entrepreneurial strategies, alternative investing, and passive income tips. And there's so much more, all designed to further your career and financial goals, delivered straight to your inbox every week. We'll also be spotlighting fellow physician entrepreneurs, sharing success stories, and providing valuable lessons from peers who are navigating the same exciting path that you are. No cost, no hassle, just important insights delivered straight to you every week. To sign up, just go to bootstrapmd.com/the lounge and subscribe today. It's 100% free. Once you enter the lounge, get ready to start shaping your future now. Hey guys, this is Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD. This is a podcast for physician and healthcare entrepreneurs. When I was in residency, which is many moons ago, I was taught that there was a certain way a doctor should practice medicine. And I learned this from my own dad, who was a pediatrician. The idea is that you went to medical school, you then went to residency. Maybe near the end of residency, you started interviewing for a few jobs. You found a group or hospital that you liked. You joined up with them, they gave you a contract, and you worked for them for the next 30 or 40 years of your life until you eventually retired. It doesn't work this way. And we've noticed that physicians that can work in a variety of different ways. And I think a lot of it has occurred since COVID, but even prior to COVID. We have physicians working non-clinical careers, physicians who do locums work, doctors who not have one job and might have multiple part-time jobs that may require clinical care, administration, research, you name it. And then there's this new way that you can practice medicine. And it's what these two gentlemen that I'm being interviewed are referring to as virtual medicine. They are the founders of the All-in Remote, or also known as AIR, Physician Academy, who helps doctors get into this field. They just launched last year with some amazing results that they're happy to share with today. So I'd like to introduce to the program Dr. Takashi Nakamura and Dr. Sunir Chander. How you guys doing, fellas?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Mike.
Great. Well, a little bit of inside baseball here is I worked with you guys for probably in the last year or so as a coach and as a business
and may have had some contribution to actually getting Air Academy started. So I'm going to pat myself on the shoulder here. But first, let's talk about what you guys do. What is Air Academy? What is it all about?
Well, first of all, you had more than just some contribution. You gave us the idea. You heard what we did and you said, what? You should teach other people. So obviously we're super thankful for your guidance and your coaching. What AIR does is we're an educational program that shows physicians who want to transition into virtual medicine how to develop multiple income streams in the field by showing them what opportunities exist, sharing the resources we have and the network we have.
Wonderful. So I want to get into AIR Academy, what's all about. Some may know you as a telemedicine platform, but it is really a lot more than that. And we'd like to get into that. So I'll start with you, Dikashi. Maybe just talk about your background, and then we'll switch it over to Sunir and maybe how you guys met and then decided to launch this thing.
Yeah. So we're both emergency physicians by specialty, right? And a few years ago, we wanted to just do telemedicine as a side gig. And both of us started a few years ago. But for me, I just wanted just a complete side gig, right? I just wanted to maybe shave off a few shifts a month, right, in the ER. So I got licensed in a handful of states and I started doing telemedicine, just a traditional synchronous two-way audio video communication in that sense and just doing urgent care. So that's how it really started. And then, so that just led to doing a little bit more. Next thing, I'm nationally licensed in 50 states and DC. And then just started really going at it with all things virtual health.
So Sunir, tell us about your background and how you got launched into this career.
So I am an emergency medicine physician. I started working during COVID. I started dabbling in telemedicine during COVID because I needed to make money. I found out that I really loved it. I love the access it provides to the patients. I love how innovative the care delivery models are from different companies. And as I got more into it, I wound up expanding more licensure. I got to about 22 and started working at a company where Takashi was working. And I tell people that Takashi and I met very similar to the way my wife and I met. We started texting each other, and then we started calling each other, and then I flew out to meet him, and then we became besties and started this program together.
Right. Right? We actually have a community of people. I think in that sense, we do it differently from those who do telemedicine, who are just kind of in a corner by themselves. I think over the past few years, we just built communities of people. And that's kind of how I met Sunir too. We looked out to see like-minded physicians in this space.
As a doctor, I wasn't used to asking for help, especially when it came to subjects outside of medicine. But then I found physiciancoaches.com. In an instant, I found hundreds of experts to help me in all aspects of life, on areas I was afraid to ask. Dealing with burnout, starting a side gig, money management, even help with my marriage. And the best part? Nearly all experts are physicians themselves. After reading their profile and a quick chat, I knew I found the right mentor for me. At physiciancoaches.com, help from professional colleagues is just a click away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just kind of talk about that, because there is this kind of, maybe for lack of a better term, stigma on telemedicine, or at least it's the way that you guys practice telemedicine is a lot different than I believe most doctors, or at least perceive the way telemedicine is done. For example, personally, I got involved in telemedicine like 10 years ago, worked for a company, they helped pay or pretty much paid for states. I maybe got licensed in about 8 or 10 states. And then when they got started, it was just like, okay, we'll pay you by the hour. And then they quickly realized that because they were a startup company, they weren't having a lot of patients. And then they said, we're going to pay you by the patient there. And there could be times where you're like sitting there for like 6 to 8 hours and you know, you're just sitting there and watching Netflix, which isn't bad, but you're also not getting paid a lot of money just doing this, and your hourly rate is kind of small. So is that how you guys kind of connected, because you were kind of sharing knowledge about this? Or maybe what exactly was the connection that led to this, I guess, relationship?
Well, actually, so when you dive into telemedicine, there are times when you're going to need to obtain new clinical knowledge. We're emergency medicine physicians, and we were working for a women's health company. So I was sitting in there learning their protocols on up to date, learning new medicine that I didn't use in my career. Takashi had been at that company for a couple of years before I showed up, and he just reached out a helping hand. He said, "I know you're an emergency medicine doc. I know you're going to have some trouble. Let me know if you need any help." That's when we started texting. "Hey, how do I do this? In this situation, how do I take care of this patient?" And he just helped kind of grow my clinical knowledge. That's how we kind of met. It's more about, you know, the community, having a collaboration or someone who's open to helping other people along. It was really helpful for my career.
Yeah. And we started talking about real estate. We started talking about other contracts that we were doing and how that meshed with what we were doing, like, on a daily basis, right? So, hey, what are there? Are you doing men's health? Are you doing chronic care? Are you doing urgent care? So we started talking about those types of things and how we were stacking them to make them efficient for our working hours, right? So when we started talking about it, we realized, hey, we're pretty like-minded. We're trying to make the most out of telehealth. And so it's the way I've been practicing. And so Sinier was kind of learning about that too. So we started collaborating in that sense as well.
And I think one of the biggest things is the realization that you can work for multiple companies in addition to obviously working in different states. Usually when a telemedicine company approaches you or you look into it, it's like, we'll help you get licensed for the states. But because of that, we kind of own you. So the even thought about working for different companies is kind of foreign to them. Is that what you kind of saw and then realized that there's a different way to practice this virtual type of medicine?
Yeah. I mean, I think our goal in general is to try to shift over to the right side of the cash flow quadrant. For those people who are familiar with the Robert Kiyosaki book. And what we try to do is obtain multiple contracts in a 1099 fashion and not ever sign a non-compete. I think that's a mistake for any physician to sign anywhere. There's no job worth it to sign a non-compete. So that's what we do. We try to maximize our business income.
That's correct. And so we want to be nomads in the space, right? And not just work for one company. And so we felt that we can help so many more patients out, so many more companies out with that business mindset of, now I'm a contractor, right? So what can I do that fits within my own office hours? And not the other way around, like how can I work for that employer as an employee, right? So there's many ways to do telemedicine or virtual medicine, as we call it more in a broader sense, because it's not just that, like I said, not that synchronous two-way audio video conversation. We can do asynchronous care. We can do collaborations with advanced practitioners nationwide, remotely. There's a lot of leadership roles out there. We do advisorship roles. We're both medical directors at different companies. There's the CMO roles out there. Opportunity to also be remote group practice owners, so companies can adhere to corporate practice of medicine laws. And so there's a lot of opportunities out there in telemedicine. Like I said, not just synchronous care.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It seems telemedicine has like a bad name to it amongst a lot of physicians. People roll their eyes and think it's about prescribing antibiotics to people who don't need antibiotics. But it's far more vast. The opportunities are so much more abundant and diverse than that weird, like, I don't know what that branding that it's gotten.
Yeah. So that's why what you guys are really doing is what you guys are defining as virtual medicine. So let's put out a definition. What is virtual medicine?
Great. So it's anything you can do remotely, which would include digital medicine, like telemedicine that physicians truly think about when they think about virtual medicine. But it would also include oversight of nurse practitioners and physician assistants. It would also be helping digital startups comply with corporate practice of medicine laws by being their PC owner. And then I think any kind of entrepreneurship or leadership options there are. Telemedicine, virtual medicine is a field in its infancy. And my observation is that it's a field dominated by business without much clinical leadership. So I think there's vast opportunities for doctors to step in and steward steward this field into a quality field that can really put patient care and patient quality forward.
This podcast is sponsored by Doc2Doc Lending. Are you a physician looking to consolidate your loans or maybe start a new project like opening up your own clinic? Doc2Doc Lending understands the unique financial challenges you face and is here to support you every step of the way. You can benefit from low interest rates, a lightning fast approval process, and personalized loan options tailored exclusively for physicians. This company was founded by doctors for doctors. Don't let financial limitations hold you back any longer. Visit bootstrapmd.com/doc2doc to unlock your path into financial freedom today. That's bootstrapmd.com/doc2doc, and you can get started right away. Doc2Doc Lending helps empower physicians one loan at a time.
Yeah, and I think obviously since the pandemic, we've learned all these different possibilities, the way physicians can practice medicine. So I want to get back to when you guys were, quote, dating, but also know that you guys started to talk more with some of your colleagues about this and kind of taking them on your wing. Takashi, you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I did, right? Because when I started doing this, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I was just doing the basic things, the things that the vast majority of people think telemedicine is. That's what I was doing. But as I started getting more and more into it, and now I'm getting calls and I'm speaking to like coordinators, recruiters, healthcare attorneys like all the time, and I'm just kind of inserting myself in all these in different parts of telemedicine, and I started making a good income. So quickly that I multiplied my own ER income, and next I put in my 6 months notice to quit. And that's when I started getting questions from my friends and colleagues, right? The night shift docs that I used to work with, and they wanted to know how I was doing things. So that's where I started teaching them, right? Like I just kind of took them under my wing. I said, hey, let's get you licensed up. I'm getting all these off-market job opportunities. Let me start kind of pushing them your way. And that's how it really started. And I helped 7 people out. Most of them were from my brick and mortar, but there were some that just called me. They're friends of friends, one from North Carolina, some in the West Coast, just calling me and asking me, hey, how are you doing things? So just because I wanted to help out, I was just giving them some jobs. And that's how it really started. It was very organic. And all of them now are very successful. And then Sunny and I got to talking and like, hey, I think we have a pretty good system in place, right? Like we're teaching these guys how to do it our way as a business and as nomads, and it's been working and they're all successful. Well, maybe we should more kind of formalize this and make a coaching academy out of it. And that's how we started. And we started talking about it, and that's when we met you, Mike, and you helped us a lot.
That's awesome. So Takashi, you left your ER career to do this full-time. Sunir, I believe also.
Yep.
The same was for you.
Yep. I left last October.
Wonderful. So what are you seeing with the doctors that you've been helping? Are they being fulfilled in this new virtual medicine that they're doing?
Oh, so I think that the areas of fulfillment here are, there's a few opportunities, right? One is if you have any kind of entrepreneurship mindset, if you want to learn about the business of medicine, telemedicine is a great space to be in. There's a lot of opportunities to be on the business side of things, an advisor, and you can learn a lot that way. I really do like genuinely love the novel and innovative ways some companies are taking care of niche populations. Takashi and I both work for a company that helps patients who engage in high-risk sexual behavior obtain HIV PrEP. It's a blind spot in the traditional healthcare system, and we get to help out in that. There's another company I work with that is taking care of patients with irritable bowel syndrome and trying to avoid them getting on benzodiazepines and get them behavioral modification therapy and dietitians to help them. So I think there's a lot of areas to get fulfilled in. Then on top of that, like I get to spend more time with my family. I set my own schedule. I take my laptop when I go on vacation and I bang out a couple of hours of work. I go to the gym whenever I want. I used to be a night shift doctor. Like now I have, if you look at my Aura Ring stats, every night between 10 and 11 p.m., I'm sleeping. And every morning between 5 and 6 a.m., I'm waking up. I have a regular sleep schedule. I feel like a human again.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Awesome.
Same here. We work on our own time, like when we want to work, and when we don't, we just keep our laptops closed, right? I get to take my kids to school every single day. I get to go to every single kid event, whether it's at school, after school, weekend, baseball, singing, performances, and I get to sleep with my kids every single night. And I work whenever my kids aren't around or my wife doesn't want to hang out or whatever it is, like, then that's when I work. So it's been so, so good. I would never have even imagined a life like this.
Yeah, I spent some time with you guys at a recent conference and we were there, and I think Sunir, like you, just say, hey, I got to go for a couple hours, kind of bang up some asynchronous work here, and I'll be right back. And he came back during the sessions. Like, that was amazing. It kind of reminds me of the band The Beatles, when John Lennon said he wanted to, like, get a swimming pool built. He went in and he wrote a song on his spare time. So that's incredible. So you guys got together. You started to realize that a lot of doctors were benefiting from the knowledge that you're sharing. And then it was decided to, like, hey, let's create a formal company. And that's how AIR, All in Remote Physician Academy, was born. You worked with your first group, I believe, started what, 6 months to 9 months ago. So tell us about what is the All in Remote Physician Academy, and why should a physician be interested in this program?
Do you want to take this, Takashi? You want me to take it?
No, yeah, sure. So our program is pretty unique, right? We provide lifelong resources and opportunities for our physician members. It's so the educational part, 6 months, but it's not just a six month coaching academy, right? It's an immersive program. We combine nonstop education, both formally and informally. We provide networking and also job assistance. So what we do is we provide support with licensure, right? So people getting a license, multi-licensed. We recommend national licensure so you can leverage everything. We also provide the unique off-market job opportunities out there. Personalized coaching catered to members' specific needs. And we do that until their objective goals are met. So it's very catered to that specific physician member. Additionally, our program fosters a long-term community of like-minded physicians, similar to what we had when we started. And we facilitate collaboration and networking pretty much for the rest of their career. So it's this lifelong community that you get to be a part of.
Sunir, you want to add on to that?
Yeah, I think the other thing that we do is we're all nationally licensed. Everyone who joins our program is committed to getting their license in 50 states and DC. And with that, there is increased risk. And I don't say that to scare you. I say that to make sure that everyone knows what they're getting into and make sure that they're educated about it. If you think about it, 51 different licenses, that's 51 different jurisdictions you're dealing with in terms of your CME compliance, the telemedicine compliance, and it becomes kind of complex and hard to deal with. Our group leverages the fact that we are a group to obtain guidance from legal systems, from licensing specialists, in order to mitigate those risks for us. And we also educate the doctors what potholes there are, where the pitfalls are, and what they should avoid. Walking around with 51 licenses, Takashi once told me, is like walking around with a loaded gun and not knowing how to use it, not having an ability to use it. We can fast track that for you. We can show you how to manage that.
And I think in addition, and you did mention, you have resources that you use to help you with the licensure, and it's oftentimes with a discount that they would be able to get on their own. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Correct. So let's talk about the 51 licenses. Dr. Zaire, maybe they have one license. 51 sounds daunting. Can you do this with just like a few licenses? What would you recommend?
So you can definitely create a solid income with a few licenses. But if you want maximum leverage, maximum flexibility, and maximum income, 51 gets you there. 51 gets you to making sure you're scheduling when you want to work, how you want to work. 51 gives you more business opportunities, more advisory opportunities. Certainly, you could do pretty well in the range of, I mean, Takashi and I debate this. I think minimum 10, he thinks minimum 20. You can figure it out, right? But you can definitely get a solid income if that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, and I feel like you don't know what you don't know, right? And like, there are people with 10 licenses that are making the equivalent of their brick and mortar. And the way Sunir and I look at it, it's like, that's pretty cute, right? Like, hey, that's cute. What are you doing? You're doing synchronous stuff or doing maybe a little bit of asynchronous, but you don't know what you don't know. The more licenses you have, not only do you cap at a, you can cap at a higher income range, but you can also like, you have time on your side now, right? Like imagine just opening up your laptop and you can just open up five tabs and you just look at the queues on five different, in five different companies. And you're just going to have a full queue with everything. And you can just, you can play with it and do as many consults as you want, whenever you want to do it, right? You're not waiting for patients to get into the queue. So there's a lot more you can do, even if it's just clinical, synchronous, and asynchronous care, that with many more licenses. So I, like Sunir said, I always recommend the more the better. If you can do it through what they call the IMLC, the Interstate Medical Licensure Compact, if you reside in a state that does that, then you can get a lot more licenses quicker and cheaper.
Yeah. It's not just about volume, Mike, though. Like more licenses get you more volume of patients, right? That's definitely true. It's also about certain job opportunities. There are people that won't hire non-51ers, right? And then it's also about helping companies with corporate practice and medicine laws. They want you to be a 51er if that's the case. And then we both do a little bit of nurse practitioner collaborations. Your expanse and your ability to get more across multiple states is much easier when you have more licenses. So it's not just about telemedicine volume. It's about your entire, we advocate for 51 because it's about your, it's maximizing all of your opportunities through multiple streams.
Right. And even with one company, right? So you can talk about multiple streams and multiple companies, but even within one company, you can be their turnkey solution. You can be their director, their advisor, their NP collaborator, and their sweeper role. Like say, there's no physicians to be able to take care of so many doctors at the end of the night. You can go back, you can go down in there and be the clinician for them as well. So multiple streams of income, even within that same company.
And so concludes part one of my interview with Sunir and Takashi from AIR All In Remote Physician Academy. If you are interested in their program, they are taking a limited number of physicians to join up. Go to bootstrapmd.com/AIR to get all of the details. If you do decide to join, please send me an email that you joined, and I will I'm putting together a special webinar on how I benefited over the last decade of becoming a PC owner, which is a critical component as a virtual physician that can really expand your revenue. So go ahead and check that out at bootstrapmd.com/AIR. Go ahead and email me that you've joined, and I will give you access to that material. Until next time, guys, you're going to have your ups and downs. It's all about exploring new ways of practicing medicine to keep up and keep competitive and just become smarter at being a doctor instead of working harder, and learn more resources, learn more strategies, techniques. You're doing so by listening to this podcast, and as always, keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now let's get to work.